Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Since disaster strikes, in the second chapter of Job, God has been directly absent from the story. We read nothing of God's direct role in comforting, speaking to, or sustaining Job in the midst of his crisis. Over that time, Job has ached repeatedly for a word from God. Finally, God speaks to him. However, God never directly explains to Job the reason for his suffering. Instead, when God finally speaks to Job out of a whirlwind, he responds with a series of questions and descriptions that emphasize his sovereignty and the incomprehensibility of his ways to humans. God describes the wonders of creation and the limits of human understanding, effectively highlighting the vast difference between divine and human perspectives. Job accepts what God says, not knowing whether his suffering will continue.
God is good. Who am I to question his ways?
Once again, the heavenly council convenes. And once again, Satan comes before the presence of God.
You challenged Job's integrity, contending that he served me only for the blessings I bestowed upon him. I permitted you to test him, but he remained faithful. Have you nothing to say for yourself?
I tested him as you allowed, but even then, your protection remained over him. He has heard your voice from the whirlwind, and has seen a glimpse of your glory. How could he not repent and humble himself?
Job's repentance came from a heart of integrity. He did not curse me, as you predicted, but sought to understand. In his suffering, he questioned, yet he never renounced his faith. His repentance was a response to a greater understanding of me, not a reaction to his restored blessings.
He is but one man. Others will falter and fall when faced with such trials.
Job's steadfastness proves that genuine faith exists, not contingent on blessings or circumstances. There are those who will remain faithful through trials and tribulations, and their integrity stands as a testament against your accusations.
Satan, realizing the futility of his argument, nods slightly.
Now, withdraw your hand from my servant, Job.
As you wish.
Satan shakes his head and retreats. The angelic hosts gaze upon the departing figure with a mix of pity and disdain.
Praise be to the Almighty, who sees the heart and knows the sincerity of each soul. May we ever be vigilant against the adversary's lies and steadfast in our devotion.
After Job's friends sacrifice, as they have been instructed to do by God, Job prays for them. They then return to their respective homes and families. That night, Job leaves his place of mourning, in the dust and ashes, and sleeps in his own house for the first time in weeks. The next morning his wife comes to him and rouses him.
Job, wake up!
What? What is it? What happened?
Look at your hands and your feet. Touch your face. The sores, the scabs, the blemishes and discoloration, it is all gone.
My skin! It feels smooth like that of a newborn baby.
Word spreads about Job's ordeal, and people come from far and wide to see the man who has endured so much and still holds steadfast in his faith. They also want to see the man who had been afflicted with a strange illness and then is suddenly healed. Among them is a wealthy merchant named Abban, who had once been saved from ruin by Job's generous loans. Abban is moved by Job's plight and decides to repay the kindness he had received. He approaches Job.
My friend, you once saved me from ruin. Now, it is my turn to help you in your time of need.
Abban also helps rebuild Job's home and estates, restoring the once flourishing land to its former glory.
I will open my house to all within the city. We will eat and drink and give glory to God.
Aban uses his vast network and cashes in on favors with various local chieftains, including those among the Sabaeans and Chaldeans, to recover much of Job's lost livestock. He replaces the oxen, sheep, camels, and donkeys that have been taken from Job.
Just 2 months ago, you were sitting, in misery, in a heap of ashes, outside, and now you have been restored to your position of privilege at the city gates.
Sidus, God has seen fit to turn my ashes into beauty, my fear into strength, my mourning into gladness, and my despair for peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
News of Job's restoration reaches the ears of the local king, who had previously benefited from Job's wise counsel. The king, eager to help his trusted advisor, grants Job vast tracts of fertile land, ensuring his future prosperity. Job's family and friends, who had turned away from him in his time of suffering, return to his side. They repent for their lack of support and ask for forgiveness. Job, in his boundless mercy, forgives them all. Job hosts a feast in his home once per week, and people who have heard of Job's steadfastness and faith travel from near and far to be his guests. They bring him gifts of silver and gold, further contributing to the restoration of his wealth. Even his former servants return to serve him once again, feeling a renewed sense of loyalty and admiration for their master.
See, my lord, I have given you a daughter. I never thought that I would again experience the joy of being a mother.
We shall call her Jemima, Dove, because she will bring us peace after our time of suffering.
How pure and innocent she looks.
All the more reason to call her Jemima.
Job has 10 more children. As before, he has 7 sons and 3 daughters. His daughters grow up to become the most beautiful women in the East. And given the enormity of their father's fortune, twice as much as he had before, they each receive an inheritance alongside their brothers. As Job's fortune is restored, so too is his faith in humanity. He sees that kindness can come from unexpected sources, and that even those who have wronged him can make amends. Job continues his acts of charity and becomes a beacon of hope for all who suffer, showing that faith, perseverance, and compassion can indeed bring about miracles.
My friend, Job, you look well. It is good to see you.
Come in, Elihu. It is good to see you too.
The two friends embrace each other.
Today is not one of our feasting days, but stay with us, and we will prepare some fresh goat meat. We have a new herd of goats, a gift that comes to us all the way from Arabia.
While I appreciate the offer, my belly is full. Besides, I will not stay that long. I just wanted to share with you some of the things I have been thinking about based on your circumstances.
Please, tell me.
You were a man of integrity before you suffered calamity. Our faith is tested not when things are easy, but during times of unexpected challenges. When you were experiencing trying times, you lamented and struggled to find meaning in your suffering. I now believe that it is okay to question, to seek answers, and to express our pain to God. God's response to you, from the whirlwind, showcased the vastness of His knowledge and power. Our understanding is limited, but faith trusts in the larger narrative of God's wisdom. And you did that. And now, you are again, the envy of the East. What I have learned is that after seasons of pain, God can bring about restoration in ways we cannot foresee. You will be an example of faith, patience, and hope for generations to come.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
The land flourishes under Job's wise stewardship, and he lives to see 4 generations of descendants who carry on his legacy of faith and generosity. In the end, Job's restoration is not only material, but also spiritual, as he comes to understand the depth of God's wisdom and the importance of steadfast faith in the face of adversity.